The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is a Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And my Monday morning guest is a no-show so far. Do not know where they're at, what they're doing. I've not heard from them. I've texted them, and no responses yet. And we'll see what happens throughout the day. Maybe they'll come in flustered and late. But until then, it's all hands on deck, which means it's just me. So if there's something you want to talk about today, something that is on your mind, please call in at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. 458-8255. And what do we want to talk about today? Hey, there was a No Kings, I don't know if you want to call it a celebration or a protest, nationwide, and we had one here in Fairbanks. So I try and keep things here localized. And so since we had apparently 2,000 people there on the corner of the IBW down to Pega Road, we can talk about that today. So my question is what's happened to the IBEW? My God, they seem to have gone all in DEI, whatever it is, you know, just they really have. It's sad, just from the perch that I've seen and what they are. And, you know, the guy who runs it, Mr. Tanzi, he's gone quite left in his thoughts, but that's his right. That's his right. And so if he wants to do that, good for him. But what are they protesting? I mean, what was the issue? No Kings. So let's look and do a reference on who is more of a king. Is it Trump, Biden, or Obama? Now, people say that Biden's term was Obama's third term. Now, is that true or not? Well, the way the administration of Biden's tenure went, probably. And he, you know, let's look at it this way: under the Obama administration, they investigated, tapped Fox News. I mean, they went after one of the top news agencies in the world, if not the nation, because of their right-leaning reporting. You know, simple as that. They went after 90% of the 501c3 denials were from Republican conservative type of organizations. Now ponder that, 90-10. So who's the king here? Who put in the Health Care Act and said that it wasn't going to be a tax, but then when it went to the Supreme Court to overturn it, they said, well, it's a tax, so we get to do that. You know, who did that? What president had 70 executive orders against Alaska, shutting down her resources. That was Biden. What president repealed those 70 executive orders against development, resource development in Alaska? That was Trump. And, you know, they say, well, Trump is a king, that democracy, the republic, is going to fail. Show me where in Alaska or the United States where that has happened. Has he sent in the National Guard for the safety and protection of its citizens? Yes, in a couple towns. Boy, it worked in Washington, D.C. Will it work in Portland? Well, now he has to go in there and protect his own buildings. Will it work in Chicago? You know, Chicago, the Army uses the city of Chicago, the hospitals there, as a place for their medical personnel to get trained for dealing with gunshot wounds. Ponder that. Yet, they believe Trump is a king. Well, everyone's entitled to their own thoughts. Or are they this pissed off about something? Are they mad about the 2024 election? Are they mad about how much better America did under Trump versus Obama? Are they mad at the way that the Biden administration did such damage to America in so many ways, and now that Trump is back for a second term and he's exposing that? Now, you know, the Obama administration literally spied on Trump and his campaign, literally. And so who's the king here? If you look at some of the leaders in the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi, she's been in there, what, 30-some years? And, you know, what the heck? I'm texting my person here who's now texting me, hey, do you want me to call in? Yes, I do. Anyway, so 2,000 people were along Peg Road and from Wilbur Street to along Airport Road. And no one got hurt, nothing destroyed. That's their right. But what are they mad about? What are they mad about? And why do they believe Trump is a king? As you know, we have the term now, Trump dementia syndrome. I wonder if that's on Wikipedia. That'd be interesting. Look it up, see if it's on Wikipedia. What the heck? And you never know. I'm texting my gentleman here. Let's see if he calls in. But we will see. So, anyway, we are going to take a break here for commercials, and I'll try and get in touch with our missing visitor, and we'll be back after these messages.
Our Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Backed by popular demand, the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center reintroduces Walk-In Wednesdays from 8 to 4. Bring in your hearing aids to have them cleaned and adjusted, even if you purchase them somewhere else. This will keep your aids running at their best, making sure you don't miss anything. And if you're struggling with hearing loss, you can come in and get a second opinion to see if there's something available to help you hear better. Walk-In Wednesdays from your friends at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Ooma.
What was that?
That is Business Phone Bliss with the Ooma Cloud Phone System. It handles all our voice, video, and messaging needs.
You sound very...
calm? I am. Ooma has everything I need to run my business more efficiently, like virtual receptionist, call routing, and video conferencing. And it starts at just $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Nice. Find your business comm at ooma.com/radio.
As a mom, Comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR Weather.
Daytime highs approaching 34 today. Under overcast skies, winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 25. Overcast tomorrow. Slight chance for snow showers. High temperatures reach up to 33. About an inch of snow Wednesday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And I believe I have my guest on the phone with me. Is it? Are you there, Pete?
I am.
You jerk. You know, I've only known you since, you know, like first grade. And
you know, your brother and I have known each other since first grade. You would have known me when I was in about the fourth grade.
Well, that since I was in first grade. You know. And I was saying to myself this morning, you should send Pete a reminder. He's quite busy. You should send Pete a reminder. I go, no, Pete's not going to forget this.
We have these crises that come up out of nowhere, just as you're, you know, planning on doing something. But glad to be here.
You know, you are one busy gentleman. How you been doing?
Pretty good. It's been actually pretty tough. You know, I have an interesting story that I tell people, but I always preface it by saying you're not going to believe me, and I can tell that story a little later on. But things are going pretty well at the mission here. We, of course, are impacted by the weather quite a bit. We have a lot of people checking in right now, and we our number of families that come in kind of goes up and down. We don't have a lot of families here right now, but that could change any moment. We had one woman, I remember last winter, just as it was about to get cold, she checked in. She had six kids, and we can actually accommodate that pretty well.
Wow.
But yeah,
you know, it seems like, you know, just talking with you the last few months, you go through cycles of staff, and you're on the training cycle now. So that means you have to do a lot more work yourself. You're doing double shifts.
Right. Actually, that's the story that I tell people. You're not going to believe it. So I'll go through it and preface it by saying you're not going to believe this. You're going to think I'm making this up. So in May, we had a person that had a stroke. One of the staff members that had a stroke. 2 months later, we had a man die. 2 weeks after that, we had a man who woke up in the middle of the night and the apartment building he lived in was on fire. Not his apartment, but the place was full of smoke. And he died of smoke inhalation in the parking lot. Now, fortunately, the wonderful people at the Fairbanks Fire were able to revive him, but there was some damage done, and he couldn't walk, so he couldn't work anymore. I had another guy that within about two weeks from there, he had a house up on Elliott, and the forest fires got it. And when he moved to, this is where he really stopped believing me, he moved to another place across the valley, and they got hit with another fire in that one. Then I gathered the staff together. I said, you know what? There's only one answer to this: prayer. Head to the chapel. We're going to the chapel. While we're in the chapel praying, one of my directors calls up. He's got chest pains, and he's in the emergency room. Fortunately, that turned out to be like an inner ear thing, but nonetheless. Then I had a person get pneumonia. Then a person took a job doing the same work that was actually paid quite a bit more money. Somebody had a big grant in town here, and cherry-picked us a little bit. But so we're down a lot of people right now, and I'm working full job as as the CEO here, and then I've been covering the night shift, or not the night shift, but the graveyard shift for a couple of days a week. So, yeah, I'm a little exhausted and a little probably my sense of humor isn't as good as it used to.
It's pretty good, actually.
Well, the thing is, you know, you've got a 24-hour facility, and there's just nothing you can do about it. People come, and not only do we have a 24-hour facility, and we have to see to the security and safety of this place, but we have people check in. Sometimes, you know, they come to the end of their rope at, 4 o'clock in the morning, and they walk to the rescue mission where we're happy to take them. The only thing they have to do is they have to be able to pass a breathalyzer or a urinalysis, and we'll take them.
There you go. Yeah, and you're going into winter, so you're probably getting a lot more people coming in.
Oh, clearly.
Hmm.
And then you know Ronaldo, and Ronaldo went off. He has a family far away, and he went off on a vacation. And I have no idea how this happened, but someone turned off the boiler here.
It
turned out okay because it hasn't been that cold, but I mean, it was pretty chilly in the building. But you know, we weren't worried about freezing pipes or anything like that. But so yeah, it's been pretty exciting here, and we love it. But it's sometimes it's a little bit not more than we can handle, but it's right at the limit of what we can handle.
And you're always looking at funding.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, and I you know, people, if you see something in your Facebook that's one of our commercials or short videos, take a peek. We're doing that stuff in-house. It looks like it cost $1 million, but we're doing it in-house, so it isn't costing us a lot more. But it really gives the good story. You know, the stories of the mission, I have a lot of them playing on KFAR. You'll hear a 60-second radio commercial, and then we kind of started taking those and putting them into video form, and they're quite good. And one of the things that we're concentrating on right now is that, you know, speaking of funding, you know, the demographics are changing, and the World War II generation and the baby boomers were pretty generous givers locally. and then as you get younger and younger, the propensity to give is starts dropping off. So what I've decided to do is reach out to other places in the United States to see if they're interested in helping the rescue mission in the coldest city in America. A lot of people don't know we are the coldest. Inevitably, somebody's going to say, well, what about Tok? What about Fort Yukon or whatever? Those aren't cities.
Yeah.
And but we are the coldest city in America. Just Google it.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Yeah, he's been here. Let's see if he's still here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
I'm just assuming you're talking to Pete Kelly because I just tuned in recently.
Yeah.
I have actually a question about the rescue mission. It would be, you know, well before you were got your position there, Pete, but some years ago, Dr. Harikian, thought it would be a good idea to have a small, you know, clinic set up there just to see, you know, people that were staying there and residents of the rescue mission. And it was, you know, I helped him set it up. I'm a nurse or a retired nurse, and uh-huh. And we had a little clinic there, you know, once or twice a week. But when we were setting up, there was also a dentist office there. And they had, you know, dentists come in from the community and provide dental care. You know, they had like two or three chairs there. It was a real little dental clinic. And they were still doing that. I happened to miss those days. Our days were different than the dentist. I'm just wondering what happened to that. And if that's...
That was gone by the time I got here, but... something that we're doing now, we do have a, I'm not sure if it's a nurse practitioner or some other level of professional nurse licensee that comes in once a month. And in that area that you're talking about, we continue to use that as they can come in and give immunizations and do checkups and little things
like
that.
Well, that's good to know.
Things. Yeah, we still do that. Just here's something that I think is kind of interesting anyway. So one of the things that we do here is case management, where we'll help people who maybe have some mental illness problems or something like that get hooked up with professionals that can do counseling. We also do addiction counseling and other kinds of counseling here, but we've always done that for free. And because the giving is dropping off, we have to find ways to make money to turn the lights on. It's about $300,000 per year, I think, to heat this place. We're trying to become Medicaid billers because, as I said, we do it anyway, and I have staff members with credentials that can do that. And what we're going to try to do in this, go ahead.
Actually, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, the mental health issue is so difficult. We have limits here. We have a person here right now who is so severely affected by mental illness that I'm having a discussion with them today that they simply can't be here anymore. We're just not equipped. We're not trained. We don't have the staff or the facility to handle some levels of mental illness, and we're not a rehabilitation center or a mental health clinic. I don't even know what they call mental health places anymore. They used to call them asylums. We're not that. And, man, we take people a long way, but we come right up to that wall where we simply aren't able to help them, and they, in fact, could be a threat to some of the people that we have here, so we have to ask them to move on. That's always heartbreaking. But at that level, we will probably never be dealing with, but we will take the people who have some addiction issues and some more mild forms of mental illness that we can get assessed and referred to and actually bill Medicaid for it.
Well, that's great. And I have a parting comment or two for David.
Mm-hmm.
He knows me. We've met. And I would be untruthful, and you would know it if I said, I'm sorry you lost. But nonetheless, I thought you did okay as mayor, getting rid of you put the Northwood, or not the Northwood, the Polaris on. You got rid of the building, you know. That was your pet project, and you did it. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mel. And we'd both be remiss if we didn't chuckle over it. And I miss meeting you out at the opening of the dog and having a beer with you. That I miss.
Yeah. Well, and Pete, I can't also have a parting shot at you, as I've heard you're doing a pretty good job. I didn't like you at all when you were in the Senate. I didn't think it was one decision that I agreed with you on. And you were a real, you were MAGA before MAGA was born. So anyway, and David, you know, I was going to comment on the No Kings thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. Anyway,
Dave,
Barbara Haney said before, oh, she agreed with Suzanne LaFrance that they were tourists that were brought in for that.
Hey, let's not go guilt by association here now. Mel, thank you for the phone call. We're going to be going to a break here. And Steve, Pete, can you hang on over the break here?
Certainly.
Okay. And Fairbanks, I'm going to give you some Steve Winwood. I approve this bumper music, Steve Winwood. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather. And Pete, you know, you pull out your drum kit and rock with Steve Winwood till we get back. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky last week at the White House to discuss potential military investments as this war between Russia and Ukraine drags on.
We're in the process of trying to make a deal. If we make a deal, that's great. If we don't make a deal, it'll be a lot of people that'll be paying a big price.
So far, President Trump has declined to send Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine. This government shutdown continues on. Lawmakers have yet to pass a spending bill to reopen and fund the government. Maryland Republican Congressman Andy Harris criticizing Democrats for voting down GOP proposed bill.
The reason that the government remains shut down is becoming crystal clear to Americans. It's because Senate Democrats have chosen to pander to their radical base instead of doing their job for the American people.
Democrats want an extension of health care subsidies included in a spending bill. Republican leadership says they will discuss a deal on health care, but only when the government reopens. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports a burst of violence Friday night resulting in the deaths of three people prompted the Anchorage Police Department to boost patrols over the weekend. In one case, a double homicide investigation downtown, police said Sunday that 36-year-old Mario Jackson was charged with two counts of first-degree murder and two counts of second-degree murder. Officers responded around 8:21 p.m. Friday to reports of a shooting in the area of 8th Avenue and Cordova Street, police said in an online update. When officers arrived, they found a man and woman dead with trauma to the upper body, police said. Police said the deceased will be identified once their next of kin have been notified. In a separate homicide investigation, officers are investigating the death of a woman who was stabbed in the 2000 block of Fiddlehead Place in an area near C Street and West 20th Avenue. Officers responded around 6:51 p.m. Friday and found the woman with trauma to the upper body, police said in an online statement. APD has asked everyone who has any information regarding these two incidents to please call dispatch at 311.
Online at KFAR660.com.
The young woman lay next to her boyfriend in the dark. The beatings were regular now, and her children were terrified. She was unmarried with four children and 8 months pregnant. There was no one coming to save her. Listening to him breathe, she thought about her babies, then slipped away and gathered them. This was it. No time for coats or shoes, not even in winter. She knew about the Fairbanks rescue mission, but couldn't find it as she drove in the icy darkness. She called for directions, but still couldn't find the mission, and her tank was nearing empty. The woman on the phone remembered the brightly lighted cross above the mission. "Do you see it?" "Oh my gosh, I'm looking at it right now," she said. Without hesitating, she drove her family to the cross and was saved. Warm and well-fed, the family snuggled into the safety of the mission. This is what we do at the Fairbanks rescue mission, and you need to be a part of it. Please donate today at FairbanksRescueMission.org. That's FairbanksRescueMission.org.
Socktober is back. We are holding a sock drive for the Fairbanks Native Association SOAP program. SOAP stands for Street Outreach and Advocacy Program. They help with youth ages 10 to 25 in our community who may be homeless, at risk of being homeless, or may have just left home. We want to help these young people by holding another sock drive. Socks are the most needed item every year for the SOAP program. Please bring your new socks to Jeans Chrysler on South Cushman. We want to fill up the back of a Dodge truck with new socks. For every pair of new socks you bring in, you'll get an entry to win some great prizes. Our grand prize is a $300 gift certificate to Tommy G's Meat and Sausage. We will also be pulling some weekly winners as well for Ice Dog Ticks, Nanook Sports, comedy tickets, and more. The more socks you bring in, the more entries you get. We will be accepting socks until October 31st and announce our winners on November 1st. Once again, new socks only, please. And remember to bring them to Jeans Chrysler. For more details, go to this station's website. Socktober is back.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Pete Kelly on the line. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Now, okay, the personal question, and I'm not a stalker, but, you know, if I was in first grade, that meant you were in fifth grade with my brother Dana.
Okay.
And what was your teacher's name?
First grade?
No, your fifth grade teacher.
Oh, fifth grade teacher was Sister, her name changed in the middle of it.
I know. Sister Fidelis.
No. Well, Sister Fidelis did the math.
Yeah.
6th to 8th. And anyone who was going to Monroe at that, or ICS or Monroe at that period of time, knows what it means to have had Sister Fidelis as a teacher.
Corporal punishment was involved.
Oh, just total. Yeah, I'm a mess when it comes to. Obviously, it's far better now, but it was something bad was going on with her, and we just had to work our way through it.
There you go. But anyway, so you're working your way through funding, and you're looking. You know, again, the baby boomers are disappearing, and hopefully, you can get local fundraising and national fundraising.
Right. So the national fundraising is obviously mostly going to be done on, or completely done, on social media. And as I was mentioning earlier, we do in-house production. And like I said, I would really encourage people to look at these. They're quite good. I don't mind saying I didn't do them. I've got a staff that does them. I'm running them in places like Old Menlo Park or Martha's Vineyard, Coeur d'Alene, some of the more wealthy places. And I'm just, most people outside can't even imagine 50 Below. But then when they think, you mean there are homeless people in 50 Below? You've got to be kidding me. My hope is that they will, one of them or many of them will choose us as a kind of a pet cause to help the homeless in the coldest city in America. So that's the idea. We'll see if it works out.
Oh boy, how many residents does the Fairbanks Rescue Mission average, like right now?
Well, it obviously varies from year to year. We have fewer now, and part of the reason is over time we've housed 750 people who came to us with permanent housing. You know, when I say permanent, I don't know what the number of years that qualifies for permanent, but people who, 750 people who seem to be housed for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's taken out of the homeless population. And the other thing, too, is that over time, one of the most important things we did here was to start a night shift. Believe it or not, for years, they just had residents watching the place. And unfortunately, when I came on board, I thought that is just totally unacceptable. It doesn't even make sense. And what happens is that we have fewer beefs that develop at night that carry over into the day. We have a for lack of a better word, a better class of people who are not wallowing in their addiction while they're using this as a place to stay. We UA people, we breathalyze people, not all of them, but we when you come in to register after you've been gone a while or it's your first time, you will be UA'd and BRAC'd. And things have really calmed down, and we have fewer people just using this as a crash pad. And so I would say 100 and a little bit below that, between 80 and 100 people. On an average, just a little lower in the summer, of course. And we do 60. The last year we did, I think, 60,000 meals here. And we had, 35,000 bed nights and a total of about 750 people that we dealt with, different people through the year.
Have you seen anything from Western Alaska coming in from the typhoon and the?
Not yet. I'm a little surprised there might be a little bit of a delay in that, but we're pretty ready to take them on, and hope we can help if that's the case.
There you go. Boy, you know, again, it's never over. And you said you served 60,000 meals last year.
Right. Yeah. That includes our sack lunches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people criticize us because we used to have the place open for lunch and dinner. We stopped doing that for the same reason it was necessary to have staff on 24 hours here. It's a bit of a security issue. People come in, they get real comfortable, and they'll go off in some of the little hidey holes, or they'll try to make it upstairs to, you know, between roll call and just start living here for a while. And the people we have here include, obviously men, but women and children as well, and we have to make sure
everyone's safe.
Yeah.
So if a Fairbankson wants to donate to you or get involved, how do they go about doing it?
Well, obviously, you know, you can walk in and write us a check, and people do that plenty, and we're very grateful, obviously. We also send out a newsletter, and that has a response envelope in it, and that's been extremely successful. And if you noticed that radio commercial that played just before we went back on the air, that was one of ours.
I saw that, yeah. Or I heard that, rather.
Yeah. And Rescue Mission, FairbanksRescueMission.com. Excuse me. Scratch that, FairbanksRescueMission.org, and you can donate online. And our donations online since we've started this campaign has really increased over that period of time.
Hmm. Wow. What's next for you?
Honestly, we just need help here. I think people think that homelessness is somewhat taken care of at a state or government level. There is some of that, and in fact, we do receive some federal funding, not much, and some state funding, again, not much. But it's just the donations of Fairbanks, and I read the history, and I think even the Proust family plays into the history of the rescue mission. But
yes, it does.
When they started this place in 1974, it was just a bunch of local people. Painting contractor and his wife gave a whole bunch of money. People started really getting this place going. They were responding to, there had always been a homeless segment in Fairbanks, but when the pipeline started, it just got crazy.
Yeah.
And we needed to react quickly, and they did, just on their own. And here we are 51 years later, still doing it.
You know, time flies, doesn't it?
It does.
How long have you been doing this now?
It's 5 years.
My goodness. And you have great benefactors. Boy.
Well, let me run through a few of them. I think it's always valuable to point out some of the...
Yeah, to show people that do help.
Yeah. We benefit greatly from the Stroker Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously, Bill Stroker was part of that original group. Dennis Wise, of course, he built this building and gave it to us. We have...
Hold on. Let's not stop there. Then he sent his nephews up to remodel it and repair it for you a few years ago.
That's right. That was no small amount.
Yeah, I still remember seeing Gene. I grew up with Gene, his nephew, you know, and that was great seeing him. I'd go over there and, you know, not see you. I'd go see my old buddy from junior high.
Gene is a hoot.
Yeah.
I like that guy, and he is a genius when it comes to building and systems and things like that.
Yeah.
Most tradesmen are, but he's...
He's something else.
Charts.
Yep.
Yeah, you really enjoy him. Prospector helps us out a lot. Hawks Greenhouse helps us out a lot. Bernie Carl at the Chino Hot Springs helps us out a lot. We had a lot of people at NOLO, including the Black Gold Trucking Company. And I hate mentioning people because, you know, you're always going to forget someone. And
yeah.
Westmark has been really good to us, and on and on and on it goes. But and then there's just people, there's just families who come in. I get one guy comes in once a month, and he says, because he likes the little saying that we have started over the last few years, and that's give where you live. And he comes in and always makes some comment about give where you live, writes me a check, and then in the little memo line always says give where you live. And we have people doing that, or somebody, I've had $5 donations. We can use it all.
You know, you also have your pulse on the needs of all the other nonprofits. You know, you introduced me to the building over there, the Women in Crisis.
Right.
You know, and their group and their issues over there.
Well, you know, we've got a campus here, and that's the Food Bank, the Rescue Mission, and the Women in Crisis. It's the Alaska Center for Nonviolent Living, I think mm-hmm. the full name of it. And all of it built by Dennis Wise and donated to those organizations. And if you want to, you know, there's a lot of big nonprofits here that are funded by big grants that come because they, you know, are tied into the politics a little more than we are. But if you want to just give where you live, you come over to this campus, and we're here food banks here, and so is the Women in Crisis. And your money will be spent all locally. I always, you know, I don't want to get too far into it, but it always upsets me when people are, you know, sending big checks off to some of these kind of one-off environmental groups or you know, something in some place in Mississippi or something, some big organization that gives to the poor, and I'm not criticizing them, but they're not local. And when it's local, you can see exactly where your money goes. And if you ever have a gripe or you want to know more, you can just walk in and ask, and generally we'll give you a hand.
There you go. What's next for you over the winter, besides keeping everyone warm?
Yeah, the winter is always a challenge. And one of the things that we struggle with here is amputees. Last year, I guess it might have been the year before, we had seven amputees at one time here, and five of them were double. And we're not really equipped for that. When I say that, you know, we have people in wheelchairs. We do have an elevator to get up to the dorm areas, but the women don't have an elevator on their side, so we've got to escort them through the men's side to get them over to the women's side. And there's just challenges with that. And we don't have facilities really anywhere in Alaska for people who are mentally or physically challenged. I mean, there are some, but the state and the federal government, they don't build those kinds of facilities anymore. And they're big and they're expensive, and they're probably needed, because the fact their absence puts a tremendous amount of pressure on those of us who are trying to help out.
Anything else you want to say before we go our separate ways, sir?
No. FairbanksRescueMission.com. Give where you live. Have a nice day.
Well, first of all, thank you for who you are, what you do, and how you do it. And you're on the front lines of saving lives and helping people, and there's nothing finer than that.
Well, Dave, I got to say too, and that is, this is absolutely sincere, and you know it because I've told you this a lot of times. Your support for this organization when you were in politics was outstanding, and we're grateful for it.
You take care, buddy. I'll see you soon. Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Feel the thrill, hear the roar. Jurassic Park comes alive in concert. Join the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra November 1st and 2nd at the Carlson Center. Tickets at fairbankssymphony.org. Don't miss it.
As the snow creeps down the mountains and crunches under your boots, Alaska Gear Company only has one question. Are you ready? Introducing the Bunny Boot VBX Lite for those who move fast and travel light. And the Bunny Boot VBX Max, built for the extreme. Gear up right, gear up local. Stop on by Alaska Gear Company, and we'll get you ready for anywhere in any weather.
730 Old Steese Highway in Fairbanks.
You may have a very busy day planned today. I, on the other hand, have but one task, and I do it every day of the year. As your septic tank and your friend, please remember that while you're out doing your work, that I, your friend, your septic tank, am doing mine. Buried in your yard. Please have Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing pump me out once a year. It keeps me regular. I promise to last much longer and serve you much better.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 34. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 25. Tonight, overcast skies. Slight chance for snow showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 33. About an inch of snow Wednesday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio here for another about 10, 15 minutes and enjoying ourselves. The Fairbanks Rescue Mission, man, what an organization that is frontline in helping Fairbanks and those people need help. And God bless you, Pete Kelly, and what you've been able to do over there and how you've been able to do it. And you, it's 24/7, 365, and you're always spot on. So good for you. Hey, it's hockey season in Fairbanks. You know, I don't know who won between the Nanooks and Michigan Tech, but or the Ice Dogs and who they played, but it is now hockey season. And, you know, I'm doing my hockey sponsorship for a couple young, youthful players. And if you're a hockey parent, I envy you and I feel sorry for you because your life is built around your sons or daughters' hockey team and everything they do. And it is, even the off season, it's just a little bit of a off season. But hey, hockey, Fairbanks is a hockey town. You know, when I grew up here, it was baseball. Then you sort of transitioned into a little bit of soccer too coming on. But when hockey came here in the mid to later 70s, especially with the Gold Kings, all of a sudden hockey, and with the University of Alaska, then Nanooks, all of a sudden hockey started blossoming here in Fairbanks. And, you know, you're on third generational now and how they do it and what they do. And so this is definitely a hockey town. And what the heck. Now, Craig Coppo, he never sponsored a hockey team. No, did Craig ever sponsor anything? Yes, he did. Right now he's sponsoring a boat in Mexico. Good for Craig. And we'll see him when he gets back. But it is the Bazaars season here in Fairbanks. Go to Explore Fairbanks, their website. They have the list of all the bazaars that are happening. This last weekend was the Monroe Bazaar, and that's where both Pete Kelly and myself, we went to school a few years apart, but it was a great bazaar there. You know, you're driving down Illinois Street, and on both sides of it, you see it. And coming into this weekend is the Winter Expo, and then you're going to have the, you know, different large bazaars that are just continuous till Christmas. Every weekend, there's a shopping extraordinary opportunity for or a selling. If you're a vendor, you're a small vendor, this is your season. I mean, no offense, but the farmer's market is sort of puny compared to this and what happens and how it happens. And my goodness. Now, are you getting your car ready for winter? I got my tires redone. We got a phone call here we're going to take. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, what are you up to?
Well, just to provide a little bit of a counterbalance to the previous caller, Mel, who called in near the bottom of the hour,
mm-hmm.
I am very sorry to see that you did not get reelected. Simply because you're doing such an outstanding job, I cannot understand. It's almost inexplicable to me why you did not get reelected, except that I guess there's tremendous forces, maybe from outside this city, outside the state, I don't know, but that are funneling in money or something, and the conservatives were too preoccupied or too busy or whatever, too unaware or whatever to get out and vote in proper numbers. But it's a sorry thing, so I feel bad about that. And also I'd like to say that I enjoyed going to the No Kings demonstration.
What was that like?
Well, I kind of caught the tail end of it. It went from 12 to 2, and I was engaged with something else, and I didn't get there till about 10 minutes to 2, but there's still plenty of hundreds and hundreds of people there. So I parked my car. I didn't have a sign or anything.
What are they mad about? What are they protesting?
Well, in my impression, they don't really have it clarified in their mind, because I went along, walking along the rows of people on the sidewalk, and would ask people questions whenever I saw something about fascists. My question to them was, what is fascism? One lady had a sign that said, I am Antifa. And I think it said that I was in World War II, or we were, you know, not her herself. But so I asked her that question, and you know, my position is that Trump is exactly the opposite of fascism, and I gave my definition of fascism. And some people, you know, they cited, when I asked another person that, they cited, well, ICE, you know, the immigration things. And I said, don't you want the borders enforced? And then he got off on kind of a tangent a little bit, said that, well, the people, that they don't have the means to come or something. I didn't quite understand what he meant. And I said, well, if they do come, why don't they come to a legal port of entry? Don't you think they should come to a legal port of entry? I mean, if I was going to go to your house, I told him, I said, I wouldn't crawl through your window. I'd knock on your front door. And
now,
see, like,
now here's the thing about it.
Uh-huh.
Congress established ICE, not President Trump. Congress wrote the rules of ICE and the rules of engagement for ICE, not Obama, Biden, or Trump. So here you have a president who's actually following the law instilled by Congress.
Yeah, and I know I've always followed the law. When I go to, when I have gone to foreign countries, I always go through legal port of entry, have my passport. I don't try to sneak in.
Yeah.
And they'd kick me out if I did try to sneak in.
You know, we had our assembly do a resolution, you know, wanting a lady released or whatever who you know, I don't know all the details of it, but it sounds like over the last 20 or 30 years that she's been in Fairbanks, she had every opportunity to become a green card holder or a U.S. citizen, and she failed.
Yeah.
And she failed. Instead, she became a felon before she was picked up. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad, you know. She's worked in a restaurant and everything, and I testified about that. You know, I said I have no recommendation on this resolution, but I spoke a little Thai, in fact. I live in Thailand, and I said that I was brokenhearted that, you know, that because she's lived here for a long time. But I also mentioned how I had lived in Thailand, and we had to go out and renew our visa, and the Thai government specified we actually had to leave the country. We had to cross the border into Laos to get our visa and then come back, you know, because, you know, we got to respect, they want their borders respected.
Yeah.
You know, you got to follow the rules.
Yeah, we are the most lackadaisical, or one of the most lackadaisical when it comes to that. So that's, is that because of Trump or because of someone else or this, the way the world is? So you weren't able to fixate on something that was really wrong that they thought was wrong at the protest.
No, my impression that those people, you know, they're good-hearted people, a lot of them, I suppose, but they get fooled by the communist tendency to use wordsmithing as a sleight-of-hand method and a diversionary tactic to manipulate what people think, and they don't ever come right out and say just what they want. And what they really want is they want an authoritarian, heavily regulated society. That's what the communists want, and that's what they're driving for. And they don't like Trump because he's too pro-freedom. He's gotten rid of too many regulations. He doesn't support the onerous things like what Biden would be, you know, mandating you got to take a shot in the arm whether you like it or not. That kind of thing. I was ready to quit my job when Biden was trying to do that.
Yeah.
I was actually going to quit and get work for a small company because it applied to just companies that had so many employees. But I was going to quit, and luckily the Supreme Court stopped me.
Okay.
That's authoritarianism.
We got to run, sir. I appreciate your phone call, and always good hearing from you. I'm glad I'm back, and, you know, I appreciate what you said about me, and you know, one door closes, but others will open. So I'm not worried. I'm doing well. And I will see you soon. You take care. Fairbanks, you have a great day. And I will see you on Wednesday, actually.